We're on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, line 6. We're studying the machlokas between Rav Chia and Rav Sheshes regarding Halach. According to Rav Chia, despite the fact that the defendant, the Nitpa, says Halach, on the half that he's Moda, he says Halach, here it is, it's Mezuman Lefanecha, you know, Bo Tikach. Nevertheless, the Chiv Shvu of Moda Mikta still applies. And the Gemara wants to now support Rabbi Chia from a Braisa. Toshma, the Tani Rabbi Bar Choma had a Braisa. Arba Shomrim, Tzrichim Kfira B'miktas, Vohoda B'miktas. When does Bezdin impose a Shvu on a Shomer? In other words, if the Mafkid gives over his object into the custody of a Shomer of a Nifkad, it's only when the Nifkad, the Shomer, is Moda B'miktas and Kofer B'miktas. Then and only then is he Chayav Shvuas HaShomrim, and we're talking about the Shvua of Eino Bershuso, that he doesn't have possession over the object. As far as the Shvua, the main Shvua of Shalosh Shalach Yad B'Melechas Rehu, that Shvua which is delineated, formulated by the Torah, and that's the Ikar Shvua. There are three Shvuas that a Shomer takes, but that Shvua is that the Behemah is not in his Rishus. Then he has to take a Shvua that the Behemah was stolen, or there was an Ones, and therefore he's not Chayef of Pshia. And then when he takes a Shvua, Shalom Pashaba, he also adds Shalom Shalach Yad Bepikadon, that he didn't take the object and use it for his own purposes. But the basic Shvua, and all the other Shvuas are sort of built around it, is the Shvua of Eino Bershusi. And we have four categories of Shomrim that are delineated here in the Braisa. There's the Shomer Chinam, he's potter for everything except Shia. The Shol is chai for everything except Mesa Machmas Molacha. The Shol is even chai for Onsim. Nosei Sachar is a Shomer that's being paid for his work. He's chayiv not only for Pshia, but also for Gneva Vaveda. But on the other hand, he's potter from Onsim. And the Socher, a person who rents an object, an animal, for example, and he wants to work with the animal, and he pays for that. In such a case, his din is either the din equivalent of a Shomer Chinam, or of a Shomer Sachem, and he's chayiv even for Gneva Vaveda. And that's going to be a sugya later on, enough pay. In any event, what's common to all four of these categories of Shomrim is that when the Mafkid comes to claim his object and return it, retrieve his object, the Shomer, if he cannot return the object, has to take a Shvua. But the Braisa stipulates that that Shvua is conditioned on the fact that he was Kofer B'Miktas and he was Modem Miktas. It means that there are two behemos. Let's say the mafkid wants both his behemos to be returned, and we want to know what these chayav or potter if he cannot return it. So the shomer takes a shvua about one of the two animals. He says, I already returned it, or I never got it from you. That's a kfir, of course. That's a denial of the claim. But on the other animal, he confesses, he admits that he was poshea, and therefore he lost. He lost the animal, but she has to pay for that. So that's called a Moda B'miktas, because he admits, he confesses on one animal, and a Kofer B'miktas, because on the other animal, he denies that he ever received it, or he claims he returned it. That's the Kfir B'miktas. He takes a Shvua of Moda B'miktas. However, what we're going to have to assume over here, and we'll explain why, is that there are not only two animals, but there are three animals, because we're talking about the primary shvu of a shomer, which is Eino Bershusi. And if he's admitting that one animal was lost or stolen, and he has to pay for that, the other animal he denies that he ever got, so where's the shvu of Eino Bershusi? And the answer is that on the third animal, he claims Nignava, okay, we talk about a Shomer Chinam, Meaning, on the first animal, he claims he never got it. On the second animal, he says he has to pay for it. There was pshia, he's moda. On the third animal, he says there were circumstances beyond his control. In other words, events took place, episodes took place that caused the loss of the animal, which are not within the purview of his chiyuv achrayus. Like, for example, gneva in the case of a shomer chinam. And he takes a shvua of eino bershusi. This is the opinion of Rami Bar Choma based on the brice that he had. The Gemara at the end of Bava Kama on Kuf Zayin tells us that there's a shita cholekes, and that's Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. He's of the opinion that a shvuas hashomer applies even if there's no kfir of ahoda, and that is a machlokes one, which is not presented here because here we have only one shita. So according to this one shita, the brice of Rami Bar Choma, the shomer is only chayav a shvu of eidah b'shusi if there's hodah b'miktas and kfir b'miktas. Hechi dami, lav di omer lehelech, for some unknown reason, the Gemara thinks in the Hava Mina that a pikadon is called a helech, which means that since the animal about which he's moda is in the reshus of the shomer, yad shomer ki yad balabayis, it's almost assumed, or al pidin, it's equivalent to a helech situation where the shomer is basically saying to the balabayis, here, come and take your animal. So let's review the case, because it's a little bit different than what we said before. There are three animals that the mafkid is claiming that he gave to the shomer, he wants it returned. One animal, the nifkad is moda, that's the hoda b'miktsas. And we said the hoda b'miktsas was that he was poshea, and therefore he has to pay to replace the animal. The Gemara is assuming that on that hoda b'miktsas, on that one animal, the shomer says, here it is, it's in my reshus, I'll return it to you, it's yours, I took it in custody, but it's yours. On the second animal, he says, I never got it, or I returned it, and that's a kfira. On the third animal, he says, I'm potter, even though the animal's gone, because it was stolen. And if that be the case, on the hodah b'miktsataina, there's a helech. Because again, as we said before, the shomer's reshus is like the reshus of the mafkid. As long as the shomer is admitting that this animal was given to him by the mafkid, here, come and take it. It's mezumenes lecha. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Lo, the amarle, the mafkid said to the shomer, sholosh paras masatilcha mesukulu bipshia. He's claiming that all three animals are gone. They died as a result of your pshia, which means that even shomer chinam is chaya. The shomer responds, one of the three paros I never got from you. One died as a result of circumstances beyond my control. Again, if it's a case of a shoel, he's going to have to say mas malach. And on the third para, now the Gemara comes full circle around to interpret this brice the way we interpreted l'chatchila, that there is no animal in the reshus of the shomer that the shomer is mowed on, here, Mr. Mafkid, here's your animal, come and take it. But rather, the hodah is on an animal that died b'pshia. D'be'ina shlumilcha, I admit, says the shomer that I have to pay you for that because I did not fulfill my achraya shmira. The lav heluch, in this case, you can't say it's heluch. It's not a para mezumenes because the para died. And the case is where all three paros, according to the mafkid's claim, had died b'pshia. The shomer, in response, is moda that one of the three animals died b'pshia. And on that, there's a hodah b'miktsas. He denies one of the three animals completely, and the third animal, he said, died be'onis. But there's no helich over here. Now, at this point, we go back for a moment to Rav Chiya Kamaisa back on Daf Gimel. There Rav Chiya said that if a defendant, the Nitba, is Kofar HaKol, but the Tovea, the plaintiff, he brings two Edim to testify and support half of his claim, in such a case, the Nitba has to take a Shvua of Modim Mixas, even though he was Kofar HaKol, because of the support that was adduced by the Mafkid, by the Tovea, on half his claim. And now the Gemara is going to ask Akasha on Rav Chiya Kamaisa from a Braisa. Toshma, we have a Braisa. The Tani Avua de Rabbi Af Toriki. And this Braisa is going to be Akasha le Rav Chiya Kamaisa, as we said before. What does it say in the Braisa? A man says, a plaintiff sues his friend, his defendant. The tefiah is on a mona, and the kfira of the nitba is on the entire, he's a kofar kol. But the edim testify against the nitba, that in fact he does owe 50 out of the claim of 100. Yachal, I might think, as Rav Chiya Kamaisa did think, Yishava al Ashar, on the balance, the other 50, where there's no edus, the Nitba would have to take a Shvua, even though, again, the Nitba himself was Kofar HaKol. Why would he think he has to take a Shvua? Because the Edim support half the Taina of the plaintiff, of the Tovea. Half his claim is supported and established by the evidence of two Edim. Is Talmud Lomar, and here we go into the parasha of Moda B'Miktsas in Mishpatim. It says, they'll call Aveda Shayomar Ki Huze. And we're going to darshan the Hu and the Ze as two extra words here in this pasuk. And it could be that both are coming to be Mamayit, both are coming to be Marba, one is a Rebut, one is a Miut. Let's see how this Braisa interprets the ki hu zeh, the who and the zeh. And the answer is that the Braisa understands that this ki hu zeh is a mute. It's got to be in this case of ki hu zeh, where the shomer or the nifkat, whether it's the nifkat or the shomer or the loveh or whoever the nitba is, the mazik, is modiv miktsas. He agrees, he admits to half the claim. Alodas pivatom chayvo, meaning you're only chayv shvua because asher yomar, because he, the nitva, is kiuzes modiv b'miktsas. V'yatom chayvo ha'adas edim, this miut, is coming to exclude the case where the tviyas ha'toveh was supported by edim. And the Gemara answers, what, you're asking a kash on Rav Chiya from a Braisa, Masnisa, Karomis Ale, Rav Chiya, Tana, Hu, Upolik. You have no right to ask a kash from a Braisa on Rav Chiya, because Rav Chiya is a Tani, he can disagree with the Tana who authored that Braisa. And in effect, this Braisa is really addressing exactly the issue of Rav Chiya, namely, Edim testified to support half the claim of the Tovea. Is the nitba chayv shvuas mod miktsas or not? And the Braisa darshins from a pasuk of miut that the nitba in this case is not chayv shvuas. Rav Chiya Kamaisa says he is chayv shvuas. So the Gemara immediately asks, "What krok omar?" Okay, Rav Chiya has the right to, he has the authority to argue with this Braisa, but he has to justify the pasuk. There's a miut in the pasuk. What's it coming to exclude? And the Gemara answers, "Ahu, that miut of kiuzeh." Is Limoda B'Mikta Sataina is coming to exclude the case of Tano B'Chidim Ahodlo B'Sor. And again, we didn't get up to this yet, because let's point out that the Sugya has a Shakal V'Tarya, there's a whole development here. And initially, the Gemara thinks that Kihu Zeh can be interpreted by Rav Chiya in this case to defend himself, not as a miut, but simply to describe the case of Modav Miktsa Taina, Ki Hu Zeh, meaning Nitba's counter argument against the claim of the plaintiff is that it's whose, it's this and not that. I only owe you 50 and not 100. And if the Hodas Piv in this case on the 50 generates a Chiyuv Shvua, then Rav Chiya jumps up with his Kal V'chomer to say that certainly Eidim who testified on the 50 would be Mechayev Shvuas Modu V'miktsas. But the Gemara now is going to object because the Brisa itself, as we'll soon see, had a different take on Ki Huzeh, and that's Avua de Rabbi Aftoriki Amalcha. He says, wait a minute, Ksiv Hu, Ksiv Zeh, you're not being fair. Chad, yes, Chad is a ribuy, and Chad is a miyut. Chad l'rabos modu mixas ataino, that he's chayav shvu because he was modu. But Chad, but the extra word of zeh is coming as a miyut to exclude lil mod lehados edim departed, to exclude ados edim. The idoch now Reb Chiya is certainly in trouble because even though he wanted to interpret Kiyuz as a description of the Chiyuv Modu of the case, the scenario of Modu Mixas, but now that we've established, based on this Brisa, that there's an extra word that's a mute, what is Rabbi Chiyuv going to do with this mute? Chad l'chayev l'modu v'mixas ataino, v'chad l'modu v'min ataino. And here's where the extra word, according to Rabbi Chiyuv, is coming to exclude the case of Tavo Chitin v'hodolo b'sa'orim. In other words, when are you chayev a shvuas modu mix? That's only if the hoda is miminataina. Meaning that if the plaintiff sued him for X, let's say a certain object, and the defendant says, well, I don't owe you X, I never took it from you, but I'll admit that I took something else from you, right? That's irrelevant to the tviya. And therefore, that's a case really an effect of kofra kol. So even though the nitba in this case is moda b'sorin, he admits that he took barley, but he denies the very claim of the plaintiff who's suing him for chitin, for wheat. And that p'tur is going to be derived, the p'tur shvu in this case, from the extra word zeh. If you look at the third Tosus on the page, Dibra Masli Nami, he's going to argue with this pshat. The pshat that we presented is Rashi's pshat. He has a proof from a Gemara Liel that Tana B'chita V'Odolo Sorin is Chayav Shvuah. So he's going to have to come up with a different interpretation of this sugi. But we're going to follow the line of Rashi here. The Edoch, now the Gemara turns back to the Braisa and asks the following question. If the zeh is coming limu'ute hadas edim, then modu minataino lesle, what are you going to do with the halacha that there's no chiyuv shvua in the case of tano chitin v'odolo b'sor? And the answer is, this tano is of the opinion, and we'll soon see there are two views in the debate about this, that tano b'chitin v'odolo b'sorin is indeed chayav shvua. And we really view the sorin as a hodah b'mixas on the chitin. Chitim are worth 100, the Sorin are only worth 50, because barley has less of a value on the market. I admit the 50, but I don't want to pay you the 100. And that itself is a shita of Rabbi Gamliel, that in such a case, since he's moda on half of the taina, in terms of its value, not in terms of the concrete mamoshes, the heft to the ben, that's enough to generate a shvuas moda v'miktsas. This snan, we have a mission in shvuas. Tano chitim odlo b'syorim potter koin tanakama. He's potter am gamliel. Argues umchayev. He says yechayev a shvua on kfiras chitim and odas syorim. And this brisa is going to use the extra word zeh to exclude edim against Rav Chiya Kamaisa, rather than use the zeh to exclude Tano B'chitin Old B'seorim, because this brisa reflects the shita of Rav Gamliel, that Tano B'chitin Old B'seorim is indeed Chayav Shvua. So you have two options as to whether this miyud is coming to exclude X or Y. Those are your alternatives. Either it's coming to exclude Hadas Edim, which would be suicidal for Abkhiya Kamaisa, or alternatively, it's coming to exclude Tana Bechita Veldo Besorim, which is suicidal from Rabbi Gamliel's perspective. Now, in pure logic, we really don't know which way to go. It's sort of a toss-up. It's eeny, meeny, miny, mo, because why would you choose one over the other? The issue here really boils down to svara. Whether or not you accept the Kal v'chomer of Rav Chiya Kamais. If you do, then based on that svara, you don't want to exclude through zeh the case of Hadas Edim. But if on the other hand you're not so impressed by the svara and the Kal v'chomer of Rav Chiya Kamais, as we say that we discuss this at great length on Daf Gimel and Daf Dalid, there are various pirchas on that Kal v'chomer, then you might want to accept a miut of Hadas Edim. But the flip side of it is, why not be mamayit tano b'chita v'olda b'son? That too depends upon svara. And the svara might be that we take the tviya, the claim of the plaintiff, and we look at it not, as we said before, in a concrete way. What was he, you know, define his claim by the cheftza that he's asking for, the chitim that he's demanding, but rather we abstract it into its shavius, its value. And he's asking for, if not chitim, then the value of chitim, and the nitba is willing to be moda on the value of sa'orim, and that's moda b'miksa. So therefore, I'm not inclined to take zeh and use that as an exclusion for tano b'chitim v'hodlo b'sorim to require odomi minataino. I'd rather embrace the shita of Gamliel tano b'chitim v'hodlo b'sorim's potter, and then I'll use the zeh if I'm not overwhelmed by the punch and the power of the logic of the Kal v'chomer of Abchia to exclude edim from hoda b'miksa sataina yishav. The Gemara now tells us a story that's going to reflect on Rav Chiya Kamais. Ahu Raya. Raya is the Aramaic formulation of a roeh. Now, the din of a shepherd, we'll soon see, depends on whether he's shepherding his own animals or shepherding others' animals. And now we assume it's others' animals. Because Davi Masri le kol yoma chivasa bisahadi. On a daily basis, the people in the city, this was the shepherd, the city shepherd, would hand over their animals to the shepherd in front of two edim. And the purpose of the witnesses is to make sure that he, the shepherd, should not return the animals unless he has the presence of the edim, whether these edim or other edim, because we don't trust the roeh, and he may claim that, you know, he didn't get those animals or they got destroyed, I don't know what. Yom achad masulei b'lo sadi. On one particular occasion, the animals were transferred over to the hands of the roeh without edim. L'sof amalu lo hayud var mi'olam. In fact, the roeh could get away with murder here. He doesn't have edim to contend with. He never got the animals for shmira. Asu sahadi ashidu bei the ochel tarti minayu. The edim come and they testify that he ate two of the animals out of the herd, out of the flock that were given to him on that day. This is exactly the case of Rav Chiya. Omar Rav Zeira, im isa l'Rav Chiya kamaisa is mishtaba ashara. The case came in front of Rav Zeira, and his question was whether or not the roeh would have to take a shvua of moda b'miktsas on the balance of the flock, the other sheep that's being claimed by the v'nei ha'ir. And the answer is that according to Rav Chiya Kamaisa, since we have the Kal v'chomer that if Odas Piv could generate a shvuas moda b'miktsas, certainly edim, here we have edim to generate a chiyuv shvuas moda b'miktsas. There are edim testifying two of the animals, which is miktsas ataina. Omale Abaye, im isa mishtaba, Abaye is turning to Rav Zeira with a state of wonderment, of amazement. For a gazlan, we can't trust the shvua of a gazlan. These edim testify that this animal, this shepherd is a gazlan. Rav Chiya was speaking about a case of a milveh pikadon, where there's a svar of mishtamutik or mishtamit. you know, he's looking for the animal that was given to him in custody. He hasn't found it yet, so he bluffs a little bit, stretches the truth. Or the case of a lover who doesn't have the money to pay back. He's hoping that new monies will come into his account and that he'll pay back the malva. We're not talking about an outright gaza. Then Reb Chiya says that if the Eidim support b'miktzas, the taina of the plaintiff, that's enough to generate a chiyuv shvua. But in the case of an outright thief, a gazlan, how can you talk or say about believing his shvua? A gazlan is not believed for his shvua, no way, no how. Amalei, so Reb Zera explains his position. He never meant to say that the roeh will take the shvua befa'al. He meant to say that there's an abstract chiyuv shvua on the roeh. He is a modu b'miktzas. We cannot trust him as shvua because he's a gazlan. So what happens, my nafkamini, with this chiyuv shvua that cannot be implemented? That lamaisa, the nitba, although he's chayav shvua, cannot take the shvua because we don't trust the shvua. Is shekenegdo ka'amina, there's a takonis chachomim, that in a case of someone who's chayav shvua, and we're talking now about a shvua d'oraisa, we'll see about a shvua d'rabbanan in just a minute, that's Rav Nachman Shvua's Heseis, but in the case of a shvua d'oraisa, the halacha is that eino yochel ishava, in a case where the nitba cannot take the shvua, the defendant is not trusted with the shvua, then what we do is, we deflect the shvua, we bounce it into the court of the tovea, of the plaintiff, let him take the shvua. Again, this turns out to be a shvuas nishba v'notel, and we only saw shvuas nishba v'notel back on that base, if you call on base on base. In the case of Chenvani al Pinkaso, Chenvani claims he paid the workers their wages, and if he takes a shvua against the Valbais, then he wants to be reimbursed, etc., etc., etc. Over there, that's a shvua derabbanan. The Torah doesn't recognize the shvuas nishba v'notel. All three shvuos that the Torah establishes are all the common denominator of all three of them, nishba v'niftar. It's the nitba who's taking the shvua to patter himself from what otherwise he'd be chayv to pay. Like in the case of Eid Echad, in the case of shvuas hashomrim, in the case of modu b'miktas. Here's a shvua derabbanan of kenegdo ka'am rinan. And that was the takonis chachomim, that it's not enough for the Tovea simply to say, well, you can't take the shvua, therefore I'm going to collect from you. We have to have some defense and protection for the nitba here. He's really chasuf, he's open, he's vulnerable to everything, any claim, because he's not going to be trusted on the shvua. We're going to deflect the shvua and impose it upon the tovea. That's what I meant, says Reb Zera. Now everything is smooth. Except for one issue. The Gemara says, Hashtanami to Leso Lidrab Chi. Okay, fine. You're telling me that according to Rab Zera's interpretation, Rab Chi would have to admit that in this case there is no possibility of imposing a Shvua befall on the Nitba, on the Roer, because he's Chashud, we cannot trust the Shvua. So the Gemara now asks, but Nechayve Midr of Nachman, meaning, why did Reb Zera have to say that, you know what, kenegdo nishba v'notel applies here because the nitba is chayav shvua? Why is he chayav shvua? Says Reb Zera, he's chayav shvua because of the din of Reb Chiya, that there are two eidim that testify and support the claim of the plaintiff b'miktzas. Forget about that. You know what? Says the Gemara, I have another reason, an independent reason as to why the nitba should be taking a shvua here. Forgetting about Reb Chiya, put that in deep freeze. And the chayve mid Rav Nachman, this is the famous shvuas hesei, so Rav Nachman the Snan, we learned in a mission in shvuos that if a person claims manali biyadcha, and the defendant contends that I want to deny the claim completely, emicha biyadi klum, I don't owe you anything, he's a kofra kol patur. Amar Rav Nachman, it's true that midaraisa is patur because kofra kol is not chayav shvua, but min rabbanon, there's a new institution called bashbinos of shvuas heseis. The word heseis means that we want to induce a person, like hasata, you know, a mesis is someone who influences you, he sort of seduces you. And here we want to seduce him to admit, because again, we have a chazaka, einem tovea elim ken yeshlo. Yet a person doesn't all of a sudden wake up and sue someone for monies because he woke up that day and he invented it. Yesh me'ayin, no. There's some basis for his claim. And therefore, even though the Nitbas Kofra Kola, technically according to the Doraisa law, is part of a Shvua, Rav Nachman says we got to institute a Shvua's Heseis to induce him to admit. And that's a Shvua de Rabbana. So then Rav Zera should have been, you know, should have been a little hesitant or inhibited to quote Rav Chiya Kamaisi in this case. He could have just simply invoked the Shvuas Heseis of Rav Nachman to explain why the Roeh is Chayav Shvua. He's not Chayav Shvua because of the Edom who testified that he ate two of the animals. He's Chayav Shvua because he was Kofra Kol. And Kofra Kol is Chayav Shvuas Heseis. So the Gemara answers a beautiful fundamental breakthrough here to Rav Nachman Takantahi. And here we turn to Daf Heyom and Beis. V'takanta l'takanta lo avdinon. With regard to a shvua d'oraisa of mishpa v'niftar, if the nitba cannot take that shvua, then he has to pay, and the chachamim are going to make a takana to protect him, and impose the shvua, deflect the shvua onto the head of the tovea. But in the case of a shvua d'rabbanon, like Rav Nachman Shvua's Heseis, then they're not going to make another takana to say that if the mechuyev shvua, namely the nitba, cannot take that shvua's heseis, that shvua's takana's chachamim, we're going to deflect the shvua onto the head of the tovea, and he's going to have to take, or he's going to be allowed to take, a shvua's nishba v'notel. Rashi Adivir Amasav Takanto, the top of the page, explains that when the Torah says you have to take a shvuas nishba v'niftar, that means we don't trust you without that shvua. Then we make a takonas chachomim that if you can't take the shvua, that's called eino yochel lishava, then instead of just having the tovea collect, we're going to be mitzaken, we're going to institute a chiv shvua on the tovea. But in the case where the chachamin, we're mitzaken a shvua, meaning technically the shvua is completely inapplicable, he's a kofar kol, and therefore he's potter, he doesn't have to pay based on the claim of the plaintiff at all, he's completely exonerated. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to institute a shvua. And you're going to institute a shvua in such a way that if eini yochel lishava mishalim, that doesn't make sense. If he's eini yochel lishava, if we can't accept the shvua, let's go back to the din d'oraisa, which says that he's potter from a shvua in ganse. And that's what the Gemara means, says Rashi, by takanta, l'takanta, lo avdina, we're not going to go so far as instituting a chiyuv shvua in a kofar kol shvuas heseis the rabbanon and say that if the nitva cannot take the shvua, then he really has to pay. No, it's eini yochel lishava v'niftar. He should be potter. The entire halacha of kenegdo nishba v'notel was an established takana for a doraisa, because in the case of doraisa, the defendant is exposed, vulnerable to any claim whatsoever, because he can't take a shvua, and he will to deny the claiming. If the claim will be supported in one of three different ways, then the nitba, the defendant, is completely exposed. So we want to protect him by instituting a takanas nishba v'notel kenegdo nishba v'notel in the case of a choshud. But in a takanta de rabbanon, where the ikar adin is potter even without a shvua, the chacham say, you know what? We'd like a shvua. We're going to require a shvua. But when if the nitba is nishba, he's capable of taking the shvua, he's not a choshed. If he can't take the shvua, we'll have to waive that takana and go back to the din d'oraisa. And the din d'oraisa is that he doesn't have to take a shvua, he's potur. So we don't find that the rabbanon are going to institute a shvuas nishba v'notel to strengthen the takana of a shvuas heseis. And therefore, if Rabbi Zera wanted to base his claim, substantiate his claim that there should be a chiyuv shvua on the roeh, just that we're going to deflect the shvua onto the tovea, we'll call it the mafkid, the bnei ha'ir, that would only make sense if there's a chiyuv shvua d'oraisa on the roeh. And Rabbi Zera says, in fact, there is, because we adopt the position of Chia, that if Aiden testify and half the claim of the plaintiff, then the defendant has to take a Shvuas Nishpa, a Shvuas Modu Miksataina. That's the Kavach Chomer of Chia Kamaisa. The only problem is that in this case, he's Chashad al Shvua, and therefore Nishpa Kenegdo Venotel. The Gemara is still a little bit confused here. Wait a minute. V'tepukle dahavile roa. When Abaye stood up to object to Rav Zera, because Abaye understood that Rav Zera was requiring that the roa take the shua befoal, he didn't have to say that the roa, because by virtue of, as a result of the Eidus who testified that the roa ate two behemoths, therefore he's posel shua, therefore he's a chashid, he's a gazlan. There's a general din of a roa. And how do we know this? V'yomer Rav Yehuda, stam roeh, posel. A roeh is considered chashad al gezel, and he's posel shvua. Any roeh. Forget about whether Adim testified that he's holding on to two of the animals for himself, or he shechted them and he ate them for a barbecue dinner. No. Any roeh, even in a case where there are no Adim that testify that he's a gazlan, is chashad al gezela. Why? Because what the roeh does is, he has vested interest, he's going to take his animals. Again, remember we said at the outset that there are two types of roeh, that the word roeh can tolerate two different interpretations. It could be roeh meaning I'm shepherding my own animals, and it could mean a roeh where I'm being paid and hired as a professional roeh to watch, to shepherd the animals of someone else. Right now, we're assuming that when Rabbi Yehuda says Roeh is posel l'shvua, we're not going to get into the nitty gritty detail about which particular category of Roeh Rabbi Yehuda referred to. And any Roeh is posel. Why? He's going to take the animals and he's going to graze them in other people's fields. That's too tempting. And that's going to save a bomb of money. Why should I use up my grazing areas? I'll let the animals graze in Yenim's fields. But that's Gzela. And therefore he's posel l'shvua lo kasha. No. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that a stam roeh is posel l'shvua? He's talking about the day. He's talking about a person who owns the flock and he's shepherding his own flock. And in such a case, it's very comfortable for him to look the other way when his behemoths are straying and entering into the pasture grounds and the fields of others. That's going to save him a bomb of money. And not only that, it could be that the fields that the animal is going to eat from are very mishubachos. They're on a very high quality level because the owner of the field tends to his, he waters the lawn. Whereas if he lets the animals go out into the hefkerveld, out into the field, to the wilderness there, the grass is not so green. And therefore, for his own animals, he has this temptation that he can't overcome. Look the other way. Let the animals roam. And if they roam into my neighbor's field, that's fine. But ha di alma. But in the case of the roeh that we're dealing with, where the Anshei Ha'ir gave the roeh position a paid position, and they paid him wages to watch the animals and graze the animals, they're not interested in the roeh stealing from other, entering and trespassing into other people's fields and stealing their grass. And the roeh has no vested interest in doing so because he wasn't commissioned. Ain't on them chote v'lo lo. A person is not going to sin when he gains nothing from it. He gains nothing from it. He's going to be paid his wages. Let the animals starve to death. I don't mean that literally, but he'll get the cheapest, the hefkadika fields, the low quality grass, and that's good enough. That's what he's required by contract to do, and that's what he's going to do. And the Gemara proves this. De'ilo temachi anan chevasa l'roa hechi masrinon. We would not be able to give our animals over to any shepherd because the Torah says, oksiv lifnei ivel osite michshol. If even the roa is tempted to steal, then we wouldn't, the whole institution of giving, of shepherd is completely down the tubes. Ela, but rather chazok einon chote v'lo lo. There is a chazaka that tells us that a person is not going to sin, in this case steal, when he gains nothing from it. He's just a hired worker. He's a paid shepherd. And therefore, if Rabbi Zeira wanted to disqualify, if, I should say, Abaye, in his counter-argument against Rabbi Zeira, wanted to disqualify our roe in our case from a shvua under the law of chashad, he's going to have to invoke the edim that they testified that this roe indeed ate two of the animals. Now, going back to the Mishnah of Shnayim Oksim Vitalis, the Mishnah says, Zei Yishav Hashem Lo Bo Pachos Michetzia, V'Zei Yishav Hashem Lo Bo Pachos Michetzia. And at this point, we're beginning a whole new sugi here about the nature and the substance of the Shvua. How should we formulate the Shvua? You would think that each claimant should say, well, I take a Shvua that the whole talis was mine, I got there first. Or perhaps he should take a Shvua that half the talis is his. But take a look at the language, if we're very meticulous about reading the Mishnah, Ein lo ba pachos michetzia, a very strange kind of language. He doesn't have less than half, meaning he doesn't own a third, he doesn't own a fourth, he doesn't own an eighth. So the Gemara first raises a suffix, as if to say, let's ignore the language of the Mishnah for a moment, and just ask, in theory, without the language of the Mishnah, what should be the formulation of the Shvua? On what half of the talis is he taking the Shvua? What does that mean? Let's see the Gemara's language and we'll try to explain it. Is al de isle mishtaba o al de lesle mishtaba? Should he take a Shvua on the half of talis that's his and supporting his claim through the tefisa that half of it is his? And the Shvua would be Shvua sheyesh li ba chetzia. Or should he take a Shvua of ein li ba pachos mi chetzia? On de lesle mishtaba, being I take a Shvua that I don't have less than a half in the negative. Now, the reason why the Gemara prefers possibly the second formulation, de lesle mishtaba, ein li ba pachos mi chetzia, and that's reflected and supported by the language of the Mishnah, of course, but logically, why would we be compelled to such a strange, such an ambiguous kind of formulation of a Shvua? It comes from left field. Why not say, Yesh li ba chetzia? And the answer is, because if he says, let's assume he's a rabbi, in the worst case scenario, and that's why we want him to take a Shvua, and he really owns nothing in the talis. Nothing at all. He's going to go ahead and take a Shvua. Right. If he takes the Shvua of the positive Shvua, which was intuitively the one we like, okay, Shvua sheyesh li ba chetzia. You know, there's no room for dilly-dallying here, for reinterpreting it, and Ramos here is not going to get him too far. If he really doesn't own chetzia, then he's an outright liar, and he's plagiarized the Shvua. He's perjured himself, in the Shvua. But if he says, Ein lo ba pachos michetzia, admittedly that seems to be the Nuscha Shvua as indicated by the Mishnah, but here the Gemara is a little bit hesitant because there is a way of Ramos, meaning if he owns nothing, then that's not contradicted by his Shvua. If in fact the truth is that he has nothing in his talis, okay, Ein lo ba pachos michetzia, I don't have a quarter, I don't have a fourth, I have nothing. And having nothing means I don't have a fourth, I don't have a quarter. So Ein li ba pachos michetzia is a little bit tricky. Omar Avhuna di Omar, you're going to have to sort of amend the language of the Mishnah here, because again, as we said, Ein li ba pachos michetzia is a little bit, falls a little bit shy of a real ironclad shvua. There's room for amos. Is the Omar, but rather the formulation of the shvua, shvua sheyesh li ba, I definitely own something in the talis, but ein li ba pachos michetzia, I don't own less than a chetzia. Now we've excluded the possibility of Ramos, because once he starts his shvua by saying yesh li ba, that excludes the possibility of zero, of zippo. But the Gemara says, v'neima, why not take a shvua? And now the Gemara checks out the more intuitively logical formulations of Shvua Shakula Shali. Afterwards, he's claiming the entire talis. And the Gemara answers, Umi Avin and Le Kula. We have a rule in Shvua that a person is going to take a Shvua on that which he receives. Meaning, if the Shvua will allow him will serve as a means for him to claim and to own and possess and victoriously win the case vis-a-vis that which he took in the Shvuah, then he'll take the Shvuah. But to take a Shvuah on something which he's not going to get, you know, he claims, well, kulishali, I take the Shvuah kulishali, he's only going to get chetzia. I mean, people are going to say, what is going on here in this Bezdin? What kind of court is that? This is not kishur, this is not the right way. They're telling him to take a Shvuah on kulishali, and they're not even believing his Shvuah. That I want you to give him, award him half the talis. The name of let him take a shvuah shechetzia shali, and that we're going to award him, and there's no laws on Bezdin in such a case. And the Gemara answers, Mara leila dibure. He just claimed that the entire talis is his. Now he's going to take a shvuah shechetzia shali. But if on the other hand he takes a shvuah of ein li ba pachas mi chetzia, then he's not contradicting his claim that in fact he owns the entire talis. He's only saying, Eli ba pachos michetzi, I don't have less than half. I may have more than half. So the Gemara asks, Hashta nami marole le dibura, di omar kula shali. Right? And what's going on here? There's still a marole le dibura. Again, his original claim was that the entire talis is his. And now he's saying, Eli ba pachos michetzi, I don't have less than half, you know, implying that he has half, but not more than half. So the Gemara answers, the Omar, he has a right to say, you know what, kula shali, but when I take the shvua l'divreichem, that you only believe me on half, is shvua sheyesh li ba v'yein li ba pachos michetzia. So that's not called barolei b'dibura. But if on the other hand, he were to take a shvua shechetzia shali, that's in a positive sense saying chetzishali. Oh, I only own half, but ainli b'poks mi chetzia, meaning that the chachamim are telling me that they only can believe me on half. Okay, I don't have less than half. That I'm willing to take a shvuah on. Now the Gemara asks the question that's been on in our minds from the get go. V'chi biachash zetofus biyomim v'zetofus biyomim shvuah zu lomali. Right? Why is there shvuah's modu b'mixas here? He has on his claim of half, he has Edim. And any case of a modem of mixas where he can induce two Edim to testify on his behalf on that half, he's potter from a Shvuah. There's no Shvuah's modem of mixas if he could support his claim on half. He's taking half, so he's going to take a Shvuah on that half. He's getting that half by, not by virtue of the Shvuah, but irrelevant to the Shvuah, by virtue of the Edim. And here also there's Edims. Why is there Edims? Because of Tfisa. And as we said back on Daf Gimel, Anan Sadi Demayde Tofish Alohu, that the Tfis itself is a substitute equivalent to two Edim. And here we have again a Chazor, what we learned many times, on Rabbi Yochanan, the Shvuah and our Mishnah is not a Shvuah's mode of mixes, but Shvuah Zutakanus Kachamimi, Shalom Yehei, Kolecha, Vyechad Holech, Vitokev, Talis, Shechver, Shalihu, Shalihu. Oh. Now the Gemara has a serious problem. Based on all the principles that we've seen until now, if we combine them and churn them together, we have a serious issue here. Because as we've said over and over again, a chashid on a shvuah is not believed with a shvuah. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that we suspect him of just grabbing someone else's talis and claiming it's his. Well, v'neima migu de chashid amamona chashid ami ha-shvuah. So if you're afraid that he grabbed someone else's talis, that's outright gezel, then he certainly cannot be trusted on a shvuah. So what did the Mishnah, what did the Chacham accomplish here by instituting the shvuah when l'maisa we can't believe him with the shvuah? And here the Gemara comes up with the following principle, which is going to occupy our minds for a good deal of time. Lo amrina migu de chashid amamona chashid ha-shvuah. So a person is chashed on mammon, but he wouldn't go as far as to take a false oath to perjurize him to perjure himself with a false oath. I mean, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shavuos that when the Torah says Otisa Hashem Hashem Lashav, the entire universe rocked. You know, 400 on 400. You know, this is lo yinake. This is a terrible iser. And people think that the Shvuah Sheker is a more chomerdik iser, it's more of a serious violation than even Gzela itself. You know, Gzela, they could be more ahead. All right, I'm stealing his money, but a Shvuah Sheker, chas v'sholom. And when they implement the Shvuah, there's all sorts of spooks with the Sefer Torah and the whole nine yards. And to Elo Temachi, I think I can prove this to you, Is Heidi Amar Rachmana Modav Mitzvah Taini Yishoah Name Immediately Chosh Rabbona Chosh Shvua? Every Modav Mitzvah, you're saying that he really owes him the other half, and that's why we need a Shvua. So if he's denying the other half, he's really a Gazla. Elo what? Okay, he's a Gazla, but he's not Chosh it on a Shvua. So a lot of what we saw before about the Roeh, and we saw it also in the case of a Shomer when the Eidim testified that the Shomer is holding on to his Rishus, that we can't trust his Shvua, all that is based on the Hemshech of the Sugya, meaning, in a sense, the Sugyas are presented Shalom Kisidron. It's only after we get to the next breakthrough that we understand why in all the cases that we discussed earlier is there a din of chashad al shvua, because now we're holding chashad al mamon lo chashad al shvua. So, and the Gemara answers, you know what? You're bringing a proof for modem mixas. No. In modem mixas, he's not considered chashad al mamon chashad al shvua. So why? The hasav ish temutei kamish tamitle. He has this horas heter in which he justifies his denial of half the claim. He's being mishtamed, he's delaying it until he gets the funds. Kid Rabba, as we said back on the Af Gimel and Beis in the name of Rabba, that the entire principle of Shvua in the case of other victims is predicated on ishtamuti kom ishtamed. Therefore, if we go back to Rabbi Yochanan and our Mishnah, the Takana of Shvua in Shnayim Osu B'Talos Shelo Yei Odom Tokef, there, what kind of Horas Heter can he have? There's no Ishtamuti Kam Ishtamit. And maybe in fact, since we suspect him of Gzela, we cannot trust his Shvua. Teda. And we're going to prove that a person is not Choshed B'Gzela when he has the possibility of Ishtamuti Kam Ishtamit. The Omar Rav Idi Barovan and Rav Chizda Kofra B'Milveh Kosher Liedus. So when a person denies Alva, and then Edim testified that in fact he did take this loan, the denier, the Lova, is still maintains and retains his status of Koshliedus. And the only explanation for that could be because he is a Mishtamuti Komishtamit, he's waiting for the funds to come in and then return it to the Malva. But a Kofer Pikadon, says Ravidi, is Posliedus. Because when he says, I never got this object for you for Shmira, I never played the role of a custodian, and then Aiden testified that he received this object, this pikadon, is possibly Aiden. There's no possible ishtamtus. There's no ishtamutikam ishtamit. He's literally stealing someone's property. So you see that there's this fundamental distinction, and that's what we saw back in the sugya of Roeh, that if the Roeh is stealing two animals, he's chashad al shvua. Or in the case of a Shomer here in Pikadon, that he denies that he ever got the Pikadon, he didn't testify he has the Pikadon, there's no Ishtamutika Mishtamit. And therefore, he's possibly Eidus. In those cases where there's no Ishtamutika Mishtamit. And the premise here is that in Tokev, you know, Holach Echav Tokev Talisa Shel Chavera, there's no Ishtamutika Mishtamit. He's an outright explicit Gazlan. How can you possibly trust his Shvua? Ella, the Gemara says, I have a different proof that Choshed HaMamona Eino Choshed HaShvuasa. That even though we passel someone for Eidus based on his Gzela, but nevertheless he still might, in a case where he's Choshed on Mamon, he still might be able to justify Gzela, but not justify a Shvua that's more strict than if we could trust the Shvua. We had the Brice of Rami Racham, Rabba Shomrim, Tzrichim Kfiru Vemixas, Vodah Vemixas, Shomachinam, Shoel, Nosi Socher Vassocher, Venema Migu Duchasha Mamona, Chasha Shvuaso. So we had that complicated case that we discussed earlier today, that there were three animals that were given to the Shomer, and the Shomer admits one, denies the other one, and on the third one he says it was onus, it died the onus, it wasn't through my pshia. Is, let's say, chashed hamamona, chashed hashvuasa. We suspect that in truth he is stealing one of the three cows that he got, and yet we believe his shvua. I mean, that's the parsha of shvuas hashomrim. So you see that chashed hamamona eino chashed hashvuasa, and the Gemara says no. Hasam nami there too ishtamuti kom ishtamit. We have even within the context of shomrim a svara of ishtamtus.
Savar mishkechina leganav utfisno le. In fact, the shomer doesn't have the animal in his possession. When he lies and he says that the animal died through pshia, through ones, what he's really hoping is to find the ganav. Let's say in the case of a shomer sachar, for example, he's chayav for gneva, or in the case of a shomer chinam, where he didn't protect the animal from gneva, and therefore he's a posheya. You know what? The shomer is not going to admit his pshia because he's hoping, he's holding out for the possibility of locating and finding the ganav, you know, wanted dead or alive. We're going to put up posters and we're going to find the ganav, and in such a case he's going to return the object and therefore he's potter. Inami mishkachina levi agam. Maybe I lost the animal on a temporary basis. It went out to the watery lily pads over there, the agam, and my sinale, I'll be able to return it. So he's not an outright ganav. Nui hachi, but what about a kofer pikadon? Am I possible? His name is Tamutika Mishtamid. He's not intending to steal it. He's just telling us, you know, okay, I'm claiming I didn't get the pikadon. I never got it from you. But really, he's holding out to find it and return it. Sarade bachashna umekashnale. Until I find the pikadon and I'll be able to return it to the mafkid. The Gemara says, ki amin kofer pikadon posli edus. Ki go on the asu sadi v'asidu beida hi shaita isla pikadon v'beise. Like the case that we discussed in the Roa, where the Edom testified that he's holding on to the two animals and he's eating them for dinner. In such a case, there's no room to say that he is a mishtamutika mishtamit. Vavi yoda. In other words, he is an outright gazlon. Inami davi noket lebi yoda. The Edom testified that at the moment he's standing in bed, that he has the object stashed in his back pocket. In such a case, he's a gazlon. And he's posliedus. Ella, if you want to prove that Chosha Mamona Eno Chosha Ashvuasa is Ha Diomar Afun, I'll prove it from Afunam Ashbino, so Shvuash Eno Vershuso, Veneba Migu, the Chosha Mamona Chosha Ashvuasa. According to Rav Huna, in the case of a Shomer Sachar, a Shomer Chinam, who tainis that the Bikadon was lost by Yones, and he doesn't want to take a Shvua, he's willing to pay for it, is we still have to be mashbiyim that he's not holding on to the animal. And in this case, he's choshed amamona. Why? How can we trust the shvua? He's an outright gazlan of Eina Bershuso. It must be that choshed amamona lo choshed ashvasa hasam nami. There too, I can deflect your raya. Morav yomer, he has auras heter, but not the auras heter v'shtamutika v'shtamit, but domi koyovne. After all, he's willing to pay for it. So he doesn't consider himself a gazlan? Wait a minute, what do you mean he's not a gazlan? Okay, maybe he's not a gazlan in the technical sense. But nevertheless, Omer le Rav Achmi Difti le Ravina v'haka over alav de lo sachmod, there's an isa d'oraisa to take something against the will of the owner and then pay for it, he violates lo sachmod. And the answer is, your average rank and file citizen is not such a big lamdun. Lo sachmin linshi below domi mashbalu. He thinks that lo sachmin means when he loves and he covets the object of his friend and he's not willing to pay for it. But if he pays for it, he doesn't violate the iser and therefore he's not chashin on a shvua. And now we turn to the vav omen aleph. V'ela ha the omer of Nachman mashbino so shvuas heseis. His name amigu de chashin amamona chashin ashvuasa. In the case of Rav Nachman, where he denied the entire sum, he was a kofer kol, and there's no ishtamutikom ishtamit. The ishtamutikom ishtamit of Rabba Daf Gimel is only in the case of Moldu Mimiktsas. Here we have a case of Choshed Amamona, and yet Rav Nachman says we impose the Shvus Heseis, and it must mean, therefore, that Choshed Amamona lo Choshed Ashvus of Esu, and furthermore, Hodit Tani, we have a Brice of Rav Chia. In the case of Chenvani Alpin Kaso, where the Chenvani claims I paid the wages to the worker, and the workers claim we never received the wages, Ishneim Nishboim, there's a Shvuas Nishba V'Notel. On the part of both of them, the Chenvani is going to take a Shvua that he paid the workers, and therefore he's going to collect from the Balabais. and the Paulim are going to take a shvur that they never received payment, and they'll collect from the Baal Bais with that shvur's note. The note limi Baal Bais is name of migu de chasha mamona chasha shvur. So how can we trust the shvur of someone who's chasha mamon v'su? And furthermore, Amar Rav Sheshes, in the case of Shomer Chinam, who claims that it was stolen, is shalosh shvur's mashbin. Also, in the first is shvur shlo pashati, but the second is shvur shlo shlachti bo yad, and the third is shvur sheinu v'shusi. And that third shvur means that he's actually stealing the object name of migu de chasha mamona chasha. Elon, we have to conclude based on all the proofs above, lo amrin amigu dechasha mamona chasha shvuah. So a person is more scared, he's nirta, as we say in modern Hebrew, from a shvuah sheker than he is from stealing. And therefore, even if he's a thief, nevertheless, he's very careful about it. That he won't do. That far he won't go. A shvuah sheker, he won't take. Okay, we'll stop here.